Well, we're going to continue in our time of worship, and this is all worship. Serving as the hands and feet of Christ, that's worship. Fellowship is worship, and opening up God's Word is a part of our worship as well. And today, we're going to open up our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up, and I'll go ahead and read the scriptures for us this morning in English, but you can follow along in your Bibles in Spanish if you'd like. You can follow along with your apps, with your Bibles, with the projector, or you can hear God's Word read aloud this morning as well. And today's scripture is going to be from Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 28. Hechos capítulo 20, versículo 28 al 38. So I'll read it for us in English, and it should be right behind me. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. La palabra de Dios. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you and we give you praise because it's out of the depths of eternity that you moved in to our story. You met us just as we were, just as we are, and you take us where we need to be. Lord, we pray that this morning you would shine your light in the areas of our hearts, in those areas that we don't like to share with anyone else, in those areas that we keep secret, Lord. May we remember this morning that who we are before you is who we truly are. We don't have to wear a mask. And God, we're grateful that we get to gather around your precious word this morning. Te damos gracias por tu santa palabra. Lord, would you speak to us clearly and directly? Make us new, O God. Make us more like you. It's in the beautiful name of Christ that we pray. Amen. So we're at part 8 of this sermon series that we've been in that we call Local Missionaries. And today we're actually going to finish up the book of Acts and take a pause. Then we'll be on the Gospel of John through the Easter season. And then we'll finish Acts later in the spring. But within this series that we've been calling Local Missionaries, we're really doing the work that Patricia was talking about, being the hands and feet of Christ wherever it is that we find ourselves. As local missionaries, we're aware of the fact that we can seek and serve God right where we are, just as we are. That seeking and serving God begins here and now, today. We don't get caught up just in worries about the past or in fears about the future, but we can seek and serve God here and now and today. By the grace of God, we're able to really go deep and wide anywhere that we are. Whether we're taking our first steps in faith or our next steps in mission, God meets us there. We're able to go deep and wide in our homes. We're able to go deep and wide in our workplaces, in our family life. It's in the ordinary that God meets us there and does extraordinary things in and through us. It's in the realness and in the rawness of life where God meets us. And on this journey that we've been on together now for over 2 months, we've learned a number of things. We've learned how to respond to rejection by letting go and letting God. We've learned to take on the posture of grace through conflict and disagreement. We've learned that mission begins at home through household faith. We've learned the difference between the worship of a living God and bowing down to a dead idol. We've talked about seeking and serving God in everything we are and in everything we do. And last week, we talked about being a community that is empowered by the Holy Spirit to point to signs of eternity. So it's been an amazing journey. And by the way, you can catch up with all of these sermons, all of these messages that we've been learning together. They're on the website at imago.church. So that's another way that you can connect with God throughout the week as well. But this week, we will be reflecting on the, once again, how God meets us in the realness and the rawness of life together. And it's been said that in community and in families and in friendships, that those who pray together stay together. But one thing we read about in this passage is going even a step further. And that is this, that a church that cries together grows together. So we're going to enter this passage. We're going to enter this story that tells us about Paul's farewell to the Ephesian leaders. They had a common mission. They had a common passion for the Lord, and they had a love for one another. As this passage says, they had a love for one another that even drove them to tears. Tenían un amor para Dios y para su comunidad. We see in verse 31, Paul say, "I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." And in verse 38 and 37, we see the words that as they were saying goodbye, they all wept as they embraced Paul and said goodbye to him. It says they embraced him and kissed him. They all wept. Notice here that this community, this biblical community, went well beyond the superficial or the basic tap on the shoulder or the basic superficial church greeting. Or what we call the howdy time, right? Once in a while. The howdy do time. Where we know the basic question is, how are you? And we all know the answer to that question, right? How are you? Good. Fine. But one thing that I've loved is that even at our leadership level, we always begin our meetings together with asking a completely different question than how are you? We don't ask, how are you? We ask, how are you really? Now, the answer to that question is completely different than the one that we're all familiar with. That's fellowship and life together. That's what God invites us into. Life together means that together we are carrying the mission of Jesus. Life together means that each one of us is responsible for themselves and responsible to others. I am responsible for myself and my actions, but I am responsible to you, to a community, to a family of God. Once again, we are each responsible for ourselves and we are responsible to each other. And I'm so grateful to be a part of a community where everyone is doing their part. Everyone is going deep and wide together this year. So that's why throughout the year, we're going to be hearing stories and testimonies of people in the Imago community going deeper and wider. Some that you're going to hear taking their first steps in faith, others taking their next steps in mission. We are all on this journey together. Todos estamos juntos en esta trayectoria. And as we talked about last week, why we do life together is because the God that we worship reveals himself to us as Trinity, as relationship. God is relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And guess what? We are created in the image of God. That means that we are created for relationship. We're created for community and connection. So that's why when we experience fellowship, even afterwards during coffee and pastries, we're able to take a step closer to life together. We get to get a taste of what it feels like to experience that beautiful relationship, that oneness in the Trinity. Life together as one body means exactly that. That we're united as one body, yet we have different parts. There are different purposes. We see in the book of Acts, it's been so exciting to see some of Paul's experiences firsthand that he later writes about. And here, we're seeing Paul talk about life together and unity. But later on in another letter that is called 1 Corinthians, in chapter 12, he writes about this whole idea of being one body with many parts. Once again, being responsible for myself, but responsible to others. I am one, yet I am connected to others. So he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12, he says this. It's right behind me, but you can follow along in your Bibles. He says this: just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And then he goes on in verse 27 to say, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Friends, brothers, sisters, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Everyone plays an essential role because we're one body with many parts. Now, sometimes we can read something like what Paul is talking about here and think that he's just being really abstract and really philosophical. But no, he's actually saying things in a way that we can understand because we all have bodies. Todos tenemos cuerpos. Now, in my case, when this really hit home for me, knowing that the whole body works together, that each part is responsible for itself but responsible to the rest of the body, was maybe 10 years ago when I got injured. You know, I've never broken a bone, but I have experienced injuries. Once there was this occasion where I overexhausted and strained my left kneecap. And ever since then, I've had a weak knee on my left side. And the way that it got hurt was actually I was running on concrete. I was running along with a friend of mine, really just trying to keep up with him, but really wasn't ready to run that distance on concrete. And after I did it, I finished that run with him. I went back home and I started to get ready for work. And then I just noticed a really strange feeling on my left kneecap. Now, it wasn't exactly hurting, but it was stinging. There was something to it. And then I remembered when I tried to put on my shoe, I couldn't do it because there was something that was just stinging. And then eventually that stinging turned into pain. And by the end of the night, that piercing pain was all I could think about. I remember I was crying out in the middle of the night just because of one kneecap. My friend who ran with me actually had to take me to the emergency room in the middle of the night. And I got to see a doctor, and the doctor examined my knee. And after she examined my knee, she just kind of looked at it and said, that's never a good sign. And then she started writing something down. And I don't know why they write things down without telling me what they're writing down. But she wrote something down, and she said, "How long have you been in this pain?" "Well, it's been a couple of days." She said, "It seems to me like your knee has been trying to tell you something. You have a seriously sprained knee. You need to take it easy. You need to get time off work. And in the future," the doctor said, "if you want to be able to walk well for the rest of your life, you better listen to that knee. When that knee is talking to you, you better listen." And so that's why I don't work out anymore. Gotta listen to the doctor's orders. Now, in all joking aside, I use a treadmill now and I take it easy. But how about for you? Maybe it wasn't a knee. Maybe it was something else. I just had a family member who got a hearing aid and was calling me up. This is an older person, and they were excited. They were giggling. They were experiencing life in a fresh way. Maybe for you, it's your pinky toe. Have you ever stubbed one of your toes? You know, it's something we take for granted, but without that pinky toe, you can't walk a straight line. We all need each other. One body, many parts. Who's had a toothache before? When your tooth is aching, the whole body suffers. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. Here at Imago Church, we have one common vision. God has formed this community so that we would be a gospel-centered, multicultural community where hope is built through restored relationships with God and with each other. The mission of that comes right out of it, that we would be a church that is good news to this city, to this valley, to this community, that we would be a church that reflects this community and a church that connects the community, that we would be people who wouldn't ordinarily be together, but gathered around the worship of Jesus. Friends, that is the vision, that is the mission that God has called us to, and everyone has a part to play. We know that no one can do everything, but by the grace of God, everyone can do something. Todo puede ser parte de esta misión. Everyone can do something. Everyone can pray. We need all hands on deck with constantly praying for the families of this church, for the valley, for the city, for the partnerships that we have. You can do that at home. You can do that with your family. You can do that Tuesday nights. But then even here on Sunday mornings at 9:05, we pray. We intercede for the families, for the community, for the world, for our country. So you're invited to that. Sunday mornings before service, we do that. So everyone can pray. Everyone can give. You can give of your time, of your treasures, of your talents, of your financial gifts, and of your spiritual gifts, and of your talents. Every one of us can contribute to this mission. And we can do it all for the glory of God. Lo hacemos para la gloria de Dios. But it begins by knowing that each one of us is responsible for ourselves, but responsible to one another, valuing one another, praying together. Then praying together leads to staying together. Then that leads to life together. And then here, this passage invites us to that next step in life together, to weeping together and to growing together. We do life as a community not only in the joys, but also in the tears. As we see in this passage, this community was coming together around Paul with tears of joy and with tears of grief. I love the way that Paul himself puts it in the letter to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 15. He puts it very simply for us. He says this, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." I love the way that even the Message version of the Bible, which is the Bible in common language, how it says this verse. It says this. It says, remember, laugh with your happy friends when they're happy, but share tears with your friends when they're down. I love that. Laugh with your friends when it's happy, but share tears with your friends when they're down. And notice, this is not a suggestion. This is a command. This is part of real life together with God and with each other. As a community, we have the opportunity to laugh, to rejoice together, and we can be a community that shares tears together. We can be a community that grows together. Now, I've had the privilege, and I'm so grateful for this, I've had the privilege of having a front row seat to some of your lives. I've been able to be with you as we rejoice and we pray together in welcoming a new life into this world, into welcoming a baby into this world. Yet I've also had the opportunity to be with you as you bury a family member. I've had the opportunity of rejoicing in you, with you, when there have been new beginnings. But I've also been able to be with you in sharing tears when something special needs to come to an end. I've done that with some of you. You've done that with each other. Some of you have even done that with me, and I'm so grateful for it. And my prayer is that we don't have to, but that we get to do that for one another. That we get to rejoice, we get to laugh, but we also get to grieve. We also get to shed tears and grow together. That's another part of what it means to do life together. And what I love is that when we walk alongside each other in the joys, in the pains, we can remind each other of God's eternal truth, that God's got us. Friend, brother, sister, God's got you. God's got you, and He is using this, whatever it is that you're going through, He is using it for a purpose. There is a testimony in the works. There is something greater. There is a story that is in the works. And hold on. That's all I'm going to say. Hold on as God is holding on to you. He will never let you go. El jamás te dejará. Trusting in Jesus will grant us courage to move forward, because this life is a journey, and this life is a journey often marked with tears. En este camino de la vida hay lágrimas. As we saw here in this passage, it was a journey marked with tears, and trusting in Jesus will give us the courage to move forward, because as we've seen and we've experienced firsthand, life is a journey often marked with tears. Paul's journey from Ephesus to Jerusalem was a journey marked with tears and with grieving. And some of us here know what it feels like to go through sometimes long journeys marked with tears. And the truth is that we all shed tears. I don't care how tough you think you are or how emotionally stable you say you are, we all cry. And we're all moved to tears at different points in this life journey. And Scripture has a lot to say about our tears. Scripture has a lot to say about us crying out to God. God says in His Word that when you cry out to me, I listen. That when you cry, I am close to the brokenhearted. Dios está con nosotros siempre. Now today, friends, may we take that courageous step in being real with God and being real with each other. In our tears, in our challenges, may we cry out with confidence, knowing that the living God holds us and reminds us that we are loved and that we are cared for, and that no matter what, it's going to be all right. No matter what, you are going to be all right. Estarás bien bajo la gracia de Dios. So in the next 4 weeks, we're going to be preparing for Easter through the Gospel of John. So we're going to take a brief pause in the book of Acts and then finish it after Easter. And as we prepare for Easter morning, for Easter Sunday, may we remember that the cross comes before the resurrection. That we need to remember during the Easter season both the cross and the resurrection. We need to remember the tears and the rejoicing. We need to remember the suffering and the victory. And may we remember and remind one another that because of Jesus Christ, because of His death, because of His resurrection, we are going to be all right. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank You and we give You praise because there's this peace that goes beyond any understanding, but it comes from You. It's that peace that is not from ourselves, but it is from a living God. Te damos gracias, Señor, por la paz que nos das. And Lord, great is Your faithfulness. It's unlike anything that we have seen or experienced, Lord. And God, thank You for Your promises that remind us of this, that because of Your cross, because of Your resurrection, we're going to be all right. And I pray that everyone would be able to receive that this morning, that each one of you, you're going to be all right. God's got you. He holds you in His hands. Those are the best possible hands that can hold you. No one else, nothing else can hold the weight of your life and of your soul. Lord God, thank You for refreshing us, Lord, with the power of Your precious Word. And God, right now, we just pray that You would meet us where we are, taking our first steps or taking our next steps or having lost our way and now coming back to You. And God, we thank You that no matter how we find ourselves, Your arm is reaching out toward us and You run toward us. You never run away, God. And Lord, I pray for that person that today may even be that opportunity to take that step toward You. If that's you, you can just cry out to God right where you are and you can pray, Lord, I need You. I need You to be gracious to me and to forgive me. I need You to heal me and make my heart new. I give up on trusting in myself and put my life in Your hands. Today, I choose to follow Jesus, Your Son, who gave Himself for my sake. And although I don't understand everything, I want to follow You with my whole life. Thank You for being my Savior. Thank You for hearing my prayer. And thank You for loving me. Lord, would You hear our prayers this morning? It's in the faithful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.